Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Welcome back to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree and I'm the host of the show as well as the founder of browngirlselfcare.com. I want to say thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Happy Monday. If that's the day you're listening to it, happy Monday. Today, we are just going to jump right in because I have a guest. We're going to be talking about how my guest, whose name is Chalet, and by the way, Chalet is a writer slash author and speaker, but we're going to be talking about how she was able to recover and heal from infidelity in her marriage. And this is a really good episode. Like, you definitely want to listen to this. If you have a problem with setting boundaries, if you are in a relationship or you're married and your partner just keeps pushing that boundary further and further, if your self-esteem is low, if you don't know how to reclaim your peace after a breakup or after divorce, then this is definitely the episode for you. I want you to go ahead and give it a listen, and I will be back after the end of the episode to wrap things up. Hey, Chalet, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, 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 how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. I'm so happy to have you with me today. So for my listeners, do you mind giving a brief introduction of who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Chalet Jean-Baptiste. I live outside of the DC area. I am a college professor. I teach English and communications, and I'm also a doctoral student at George Mason.
Wow. So Chalet, I read, because you sent me a brief bio, and so you got degrees just popping, or is it just me?
Yes. I guess I'm a forever student, you know? So yes, I have two masters and I'm going for my doctorate. Yes. So.
Wow.
I love learning.
I don't even have, I do too, but I don't love school learning. I love learning, but I don't love school learning. So I guess my equivalent, I would have an MA in something by now, but not school related. So that's for you to have that drive, that's amazing. I give you, major props. I'm so proud of you. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So Chalet, let's just go ahead and get into it, girl. Let's just go ahead and get into it.
Can't wait.
So you wrote me an email, and actually I wish I had the email in front of me, but I don't. But you were just telling me some of the stuff about your life and about just life in general, and how you have kids and things that were happening with your husband, and how you were able to recuperate from that and to just go on your own journey of building a village around you and learning to value yourself more and, you know, just take care of yourself better. So let's kind of start from the beginning. Because the first thing that jumped out is obviously you were married, but now you're single.
Yes. Yes. So I was married.
Tell me more about that. Yeah.
I was married for over 10 years. And I was with him for 15 years. We were, we knew each other from high school. But even though we weren't high school sweethearts, and you know, just Prince Charming, handsome guy, really just captured me, and I thought I had married, you know, the man of my dreams, basically. He became the man of my horror dream, but you know, but
it was a nightmare.
Yes, night it was a nightmare. Well, but I will say that we had three beautiful children out of that marriage, and I'm forever grateful for that. So I can talk more about the marriage if you would like me to.
Yeah, because what I want to know is, so you met in high school, and yes, you were married for 10 years. You have three beautiful babies. How old are your kids, by the way?
I have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 7-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are just all across the board. You have teenagers, yes, but then you still have that 7-year-old.
Yes. And the 7-year-old has my little heart. You know, I always say, even though it was a little gap, it's always good because you're teenagers. Yeah. They don't think about you after a while, you know?
They sure do not.
Mom, can I get money? Mom, can you take me someplace? You know?
Yes. I know exactly what you mean. I have a 17-year-old, and pretty much she thinks that my name is Wells Fargo or Chase Bank.
Or Bank of America, right? Yes.
Or Bank of America plus Uber/Lyft.
Yes.
And I'm just like, if this girl asked me for one more piece of money, one more damn ride to. So her thing right now is first of all, she's asking me to go to a million places. And see, when I was raised, I couldn't go nowhere. So I'm I'm trying not to be that parent, because I know that hindered me in some way. You know what I'm saying? As far as my development, that's how I feel. So I don't want to be that parent. So she knows that. But now she's like, we're having Friendsgiving. I've been invited to two Friendsgivings. And I'm sitting there like, first of all, okay, sister. Okay, I don't feel like driving you.
That's how I feel. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, and on top of that, listen, sis, on top of that, then you need money because Friendsgiving, they got to bring food and stuff. I'm just like, did I sign up for this? I don't know if I did.
Right. And my son has a better social life than me. I don't know how that happened.
Oh my God.
But he always needs to do something on the weekends. Okay. And I'm like, how you going to get there?
I'm like, you need to be in there cleaning your room.
Right.
And helping me wash these dishes. That's what you need to be doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think we are raising amazing kids in a great way because we're comfortable with not having to be up under you all the time. They are social and they are adaptable. That's what it sounds like.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, totally. Totally great kids. And thank God they're different from us. I was raised the kind of same way. My parents were very strict. I couldn't go anywhere. They had to meet everybody and their mother before I was even about to spend a couple hours at the house, you know, and I think I'm a little more liberal with my kids. So I think we have that same experience of feeling like, you know, I felt like I was stifled and I had to break free because of how my mom was so overprotective. So
overprotective.
Yes.
I get it. So let's talk about your relationship with hubby.
Yeah.
And let's just put it all out on the table. So my assumption, but correct me if I'm wrong as you tell the story, is that things were going great up until a certain point, and then that's when things just kind of hit the fan. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Okay. So it really didn't happen like that. Let me just be honest. You know, I walked into a situation with my eyes wide open, but shut, you know, meaning that I knew what I was getting, but I thought it would change. And I think that so many women do that, that we think that we can come in a situation and change it, and we can't, you know? And like, for example, my ex was fine. He always had a lot of women that liked him. You know, I was kind of at this point a really good girl that just wanted to be married and have a family. And I loved his family. So I, you know, when he asked to marry me, we had already had our son. And I really wanted to do it, even though I knew in my heart that he still had an affinity for other women. Like, he loved women, you know, and he was a player at that time. And I agreed to marry him, and I just brought more of those issues into our relationship, you know. And I thought that, okay, we're young. I have these children by him. As we get older, he's going to love me more and he's going to change. And it just never happened. Mm. Matter of fact, what you choose to accept is really what you choose to regret. Because once he felt like she's going to stay no matter what, things got worse. And I lived my life with him in a lot of pain, you know? So, yes. Mm-hmm. That was the match. So no, I didn't go in. Yeah. I did not go into the marriage with a Prince Charming. Well, I mean, I thought he was Prince Charming, but he was not perfect. And I kind of accepted who he was and just felt like it would get better. And I said, I'm going to pray hard enough. I'm going to read my word. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be a good wife. I'm going to cook more. I'm going to clean more. And he's going to become a good man to me. And that just didn't happen. You know? Wow. So, yeah.
Wow. So you said something that really stuck out to me. And it's so, so true, is that what you accept, you know, then it's like, oh, well, she was cool with that. So let me try this. You know what I mean? Like, oh, she was fine with, for example, me staying out till 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, this time I'm going to stay out till 3:30. I'm not going to even call or text or anything. It's like sometimes people push the boundaries or we never really had solid boundaries set in place.
Oh my goodness.
That we were, that we told, you know what I'm saying? Like, not that you should have to tell your husband, hey, well, first of all, let me just say this disclaimer. I've never been married. Okay. So I'm just going to put that out there, but it's like, I would imagine, since again, I'm a single woman, I would imagine that there are certain things you shouldn't have, quote unquote, have to tell a husband. You know what I'm saying? But let's just pretend that communication styles are different. I get that. But it's like sometimes with people, it's like you give an inch and they take a damn mile. Yeah. And they just step all over us.
And you said something so important about boundaries. You know, I remember my girlfriend, Shawanda, gave me this book when she saw that I was going through hell in my marriage, and it was about setting boundaries in your marriage. And so these are things that you don't even think about are important, but they do become important, and they're these unspoken kind of things. You shouldn't have to go to your husband and say, this is, you know, whatever, but he should know by the standard that you set for yourself and the boundaries that you set for yourself that this is what this woman will not take. So I want to be clear about setting boundaries is so important. Setting boundaries for yourself before you even get married, whether you're single, you know, or dating, those boundaries become everything. And that's what I did not do. You know, I accepted him in what he did. And actually, of course, I wasn't like happy by it. And I confronted him and I was like, you better not do it. And you better change. You know, I wasn't one of those that was like, okay, you can do it. And I'm just going to act like, be quiet about it. I was not that person at all. But in me, even with my anger and the way I responded and me staying through situations over and over again, I was definitely setting a standard that it was okay for him to do.
So, wow. Yeah, I can resonate with that tremendously. Like, something about, do you feel like you might have been uncomfortable, like setting boundaries? You know what I mean? Was that like a problem point for you?
I think that in the beginning I was, you know, because you want you want it to work with the person you with, you know? And so in the beginning, I felt like, you know, I'm not going to be so strict. You know, he's a man, you know, he has his children, you know, we're young still, you know, he's going to grow out of this. So, you know, maybe I won't even worry about these boundaries. But when you look at your children and you want them to be certain people and have certain standards for their own life, you know, that's when I began to realize, and the older I got, of course, that's when I began to realize that that was a mistake, you know? Not really setting boundaries. And I think that's tied to your self-esteem and your self-worth too, you know? There were times that I suffered from low self-esteem, you know, and just, you know, not thinking I'm worthy enough. And I would say that, that was part of the problem. And so I really compromised on those boundaries and standards so much so that he saw it. You know, I have this quote that I say, you know, if you go into water and you're bleeding, a shark can smell you, you know, and he knows that you're bleeding. And so it's the same thing with people. You know, they know when you're vulnerable. They know when you're, you know, you're hurting. And if they want something to get, they know how to get it out of you. You know, they can tell people that are that are have low self-esteem, have low self-worth, that don't love themselves the way they should, and they can take advantage of that. And that's what happened to me.
Yeah. I agree with that. It's like, I totally agree with that, because one of my relationships, like, I'm a work in progress. I want to make sure I mention that, but I'm a work in progress.
Everybody is,
right?
Everybody.
God ain't finished with me yet.
Yes.
Okay. I'm a WIP. Okay.
Yes.
But when you talk about self-esteem, like if your self-esteem is shot, you know, if you're not loving yourself at, you know, as you should, or in a way that makes you feel good about yourself. If you're not treating yourself with grace and having standards and just not settling, like you just, there are people, and I don't know if it's an intentional thing or maybe they too are struggling with something internally. Yeah. So they latch on, you know what I'm saying? Someone like me or like you, because I went through periods of low self-esteem and I still struggle with that. Low self-worth, low self-confidence.
Yeah, you gotta always reaffirm yourself daily. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And I wasn't doing those things for myself. I wasn't really, and that's one of the reasons why I started Brown Girl Self-Care, because I realized, like, I don't want to live my entire life and look up, I'm in my 60s and I'm still dealing with the same, excuse my friend, shit that I was dealing with in my 40s and my 30s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's like, come on, dude. Like, at some point, you got to stop and you got to love yourself, because life is just not going to work if you don't.
It's really not. But, you know, it's really not.
It's really not. But it's like there's people that latch on to people like us and then they just do and take. And it's
exhausting.
It's hard.
Yes.
It is exhausting.
But you know what's so powerful about what you said is that it's so it's exhausting, but hurt people, you know? So that's something to remember too. And sometimes it's consciously. You have people out here that are just evil and they look for every opportunity they can to take advantage of someone. But then you have people that it's unconscious. Like, I must say, I don't think my ex-husband married me to hurt me. I think that he had his own, like, demons he was fighting, and I just got hurt in the process, you know? And I do believe he loved me, but he just couldn't love me to the capacity that was good enough for me to, you know, good enough to, you know, to say we were husband and wife couple, or good enough to say he was a good husband to me, you know? So, that was the difference. So I must say that with my ex-husband, I don't think that it was like malicious, you know? But nevertheless, the pain was still real, you know?
I knew it was.
Yes.
I know it was.
Still real.
So, Shale.
Yes.
Girl.
Yes.
All right, let's just tell me. Tell us.
Yes.
Tell us, what was the final straw?
Ooh,
what happened? Just let us know. Let's put it on the table now.
Yes. Okay, so I caught my husband in bed with another woman. Two things happened. I caught him in bed with another woman, and I could have lost everything, basically, because, you know, you don't know what you're going to do in that situation, you know? And so it was a volatile situation for me, and I was arrested. Of course, I beat the charge, thank God, but it really made me open my eyes to what have you been accepting all these years? What, you know, why did you get to this point, you know, that this had to happen? And it was kind of devastating to me. And then the second thing that happened is that my ex-husband had gotten a woman pregnant while we were married.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. And that devastated me, because that was something that, you know, he promised he would never do, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, it was so funny because I watched right in front of me cycles repeat themselves. His dad had done this and now he was doing it to me, you know? And, you know, I often notice that if you don't heal from your hurt, you can repeat the same things that hurt you, you know? And I watched that in my ex-husband and the way he hurt me with just the multiple women, me kept catching him in bed with a woman, him having a baby while we were still married. And, so that was the final straw. I had to really, and let me just say, it wasn't easy for me to decide to move on. Remember, I had three kids, you know, who really loved their dad at the time. Even though things were shaky with my oldest daughter, because she had seen a lot and, you know, was really starting to hurt her also, which is why I always tell women, you think you're staying for the kids, it's doing the right thing, but sometimes you're just messing them up, you know? I finally had to, and I had a new baby. So putting this in context, my daughter at the time was 6 months old. So I had to really make the decision. Do I want to have, this is my second daughter. Do I want to have another daughter see her mother accept this type of behavior, you know, mm-hmm. or do I want my children to see their mother in a healthy relationship? And so as scary as it was, and I mean, really scary, I had to begin the process of letting go of the marriage. And that for me took healing. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of therapy. I went to a therapist. I began to really, you know, seek God. I'm a Christian. So I went to church and really, you know, had a lot of, you know, women that supported me and, you know, upheld me. And, you know, sisterhood is so important through times like this. And I removed myself from the marriage and began to rebuild who I was, you know, loving myself and getting to know who is Shalay really? Because when I look back at the marriage, I didn't take pictures of myself. I didn't laugh the way I do now. I didn't dance around the house, do all the silly things that I used to do before I was married, because I had been so beaten down, you know, like my self-esteem was like on the ground. And so I didn't do any of the fun, loving, you know, things that I usually am, you know, known for doing. And that was because I was in such a bad place. And so after I was able to heal, all those things came back. Like I have more joy than I've ever had before in my life. So there is some peace after the storm, if I may say. It's in loving yourself, though. Wow. So that's what I want to say. It's in loving who you are. And I know that's a big cliche now. You know, everybody's into self-care and loving yourself. But you know what? I will say that it takes the work, really doing the work, you know, to begin the process of loving yourself. Listen, girl, I used to take myself out to the movies. I took myself out to plays. You know, I would just take myself out to dinner. I started doing some journaling and writing because I wanted to rediscover who I was. So, yeah. Mm.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. So I'm really identifying with that whole single part of just going out and doing stuff. That's me too. But what I wanted to ask you, because I know that there is a listener or five. That might be in a similar situation as far as, maybe not necessarily with him or her partner cheating, but it could be something else that is just like an absolute deal breaker. And they're like, you know what? I'm just done. I am so done. It could be lying or substance abuse or violence or, you know, whatever. I don't know. But what I want to know from you is, because what I hear sometimes from people that are in situations like that, where they're just like, you know what, I'm scared to leave because, you know, I don't have anybody, or I don't have enough money, or, you know, I can't just take my kids away from their dad, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So like, how are you able to make plans and save up enough money, for example, to like move, you know what I mean? Like how did you make that work?
Yeah. That's a good question. I will say I've seen both situations. For me, I was always the breadwinner of my home. I always, you know, I used to work at a financial industry firm, and we wrote this book called Women in Investing. And I've heard so many stories of women that stayed in situations because they were not financially stable. And I'm always saying, women, you got to have something in your own, especially now. This is not the 1950s anymore, 1960s, you know, you must have your own, you know, And I will also say this too, because I have a rooted faith in God. You know, I had to really pick my faith up to, make the move when I knew it was time. So what I will say is this, I don't want to make it seem like it's easy to get divorced, or that every bad thing you should run to the divorce court. Right. Because I think there's a lot of that too, where people are just, you know, saying, okay, I don't agree with this, or this is getting out of hand, so I can't take it anymore. And people are not really understanding that marriage comes with up and downs. And sometimes you got to stay through some things you don't like and make it work. But if it's to the detriment of yourself, okay, this is what I begin to realize. If it becomes to the detriment of yourself, that's when you have to go. Because you are killing something with inside of you. You are dying a slow death. So one of the books I wrote is called Relive. And I wrote that book because it was really a death that, and I had to learn to relive, right? The process of dying, of feeling like I had an emotional death taken, you know, take place inside of me, and a spiritual death, and having to pick myself back up to relearn to relive again, you know? And that life is so much bigger than you think it is. It's bigger than that moment, you know? And one thing that helped me was that I traveled, I went away, and I began to see God in the natural wonders of things, you know, climbing mountains, doing things that I never thought I would do. Cause look, I'm from New York City and I'm scared of heights, you know, but I was just saying, I just was taking chances and getting out there and doing stuff that I never thought I was going to do. And I felt like God was there with me. Like he revealed himself to me and to really give me the strength to let me know I can make it, you know, and that I could move on. And maybe you don't have the means to travel. I understand that. But everywhere you look, there's something beautiful around you, you know? And I realized that. And I, you know, like I said, I don't like when women say, you know, I'm staying for the kids, because let me just give you an example. Mm-hmm. My oldest daughter suffered greatly, even my son, from my teenagers, both teenagers, they suffered greatly from what they experienced me and their father go through, to the point where my daughter was emotionally damaged and I had to really seek some therapy for her, because she saw me in so much pain that it caused her pain. So we are the living models for our children. And if they see us as accepting certain things, they will believe that this is what they have to accept. And we can be good to them. We can give them everything they want. We can, you know, provide them with all the material things. But if we don't teach them self-worth through our own behavior and our own model, they will become replicas of what we don't want them to be, you know? So I think that's what I learned from that, you know, is that sometimes taking a leap of faith is the best thing you'll do. You know, there are times that I struggled, that I got my lights turned off because now, you know, I was by myself and it was so many struggles that me and my children went through. But if I had to go back and redo it, I would go through and do all that all over just to be at the place that I am at now.
In that place, I'm assuming, is a place of self-love and peace and faith.
Yes. You know, there's a meme that goes around, that's going around, that says, you know, look how I sleep at night, knowing somebody's not cheating on me. That's real. I sleep peacefully at night, you know, because not only is not knowing somebody's cheating on me, right, but just because I know how I feel about myself. I value myself now. I set boundaries for myself, you know. I know that what I'm not going to accept and what I will accept, and that's easy to say because we all get lonely. You know, I'm a work in process too. I have to reaffirm myself daily, you know, but it's real because I know from where I came from, I never want to go back there. I never want to feel like that. So that's a constant reminder. Mm-hmm. And even after everything I went through with my ex-husband, we're still friends. Can you believe it or not? Like, we are cool.
I cannot. That is amazing.
Yeah, because
I would have cut him or something. But
I know, girl. That is amazing. Trust me. Yes, trust me. That was a process too. You know, with me not being angry. Yeah, actually, when I left him, he was more angry at me than I was at him. You believe it or not? Like, that's so crazy.
The nerve.
He was angry at me, but you know, God gave me a peace about it, and also I began to realize that you need to really have peace within yourself. He was not able to pull those triggers anymore that was caused me to really like go off, right? Because of the peace that I had. So usually when he would say things that would cause an argument or bring back up pain, this is why you got to heal from your pain. And it's so important to do that. And by me going through therapy and being able to really release it, in a positive way, you know, doing things, you know, writing and really helping other people.
I know you love this podcast, but if you've been on the hunt for other unapologetically Black podcasts to listen to, I want to invite you to give Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR a listen. They featured an episode of It's Been a Minute, and it was with Tracy Ellis Ross, and it was like a breath of fresh air for me. She touched upon her work, which of course includes Girlfriends, and we know the legacy of that show and also how that dynamic specifically between Joan and Tony still has a huge impact on Black culture, but it gave me room to reflect not only about the ways I am in community with Black women, but also how I am being in relationship with myself. NPR's episodes, they just hit differently. So NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes that celebrate the Black experience, from the It's Been a Minute episode with Tracee Ellis Ross to the Code Switch episode on the women behind the Montgomery bus boycott. These episodes are rooted in our richness and our history that we will not allow to be erased or marginalized. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. There is no shame in needing to rebuild. So I'm in a season of taking back my financial power, and that looks like getting my credit together, because having credit is powerful. I'll be making a move next year to another state, and I'm doing what I know to do now so that my credit won't prevent me from being able to rent another home. If you're in a similar situation, one tool I want you to know about is Kickoff, the credit builder that requires no credit check and is super simple to get started with today. Kickoff is a credit line that is just for credit building, not everyday spending, and there are zero catches. You make on-time payments, the credit bureau sees your good behavior, and your credit grows. Sign up in minutes from your phone and start building credit right away. Join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar at getkickoff.com/selfcare today. That's Kickoff without the C. GetKIKOFF.com/selfcare. Special offer applies to new Kickoff premium customers for their first month only. Subject to approval and only available on getkickoff.com/selfcare. Terms of offer are subject to change. One of my favorite memories as a little girl was when I went to the beach. Seeing the ocean waves, smelling the salty air, and feeling the sun on my skin was pure radical joy. Now, certain scents like Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil will instantly trigger those feel-good memories because it literally smells like summer in a bottle. Inside, you'll find blissful notes of lime, grapefruit, cypress, mango, and mandarin. The scent is so divine that I cannot help but to smell myself randomly throughout the day. And when I use it after a shower, my skin is glowy, soft, and smooth. I've talked about Osea many times, and there's a reason for that. It is a clean, soothing part of my maintenance routine, one that I refuse to be without. I absolutely adore Osea. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SELFCARE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code SELFCARE for 10% off.
That I saw, you sometimes we think we're in a situation alone, and then we look around and a lot of people are going through the same things we've gone through, you know? And by me doing that, he wasn't able to pull those triggers that would have me respond emotionally. And once I got past that point, I was able to really become his friend and really even pity him for what, you know, he did, and say to him, you know, I forgive you for what you did to me, you know, and really from my children to be able to co-parent with them effectively, it really works well. And, you know, I will say this, I will always love him because of the time that we spent together, the years we spent together. And I think that's where a lot of people, they go wrong, because they want to deny that love. They want to erase all the bad experience, you know, but I take the bad with the good, you know, and me being able to do that, I'm able to have a situation that works for me. So really finding peace within myself helped me find peace within the whole situation.
Wow. That is amazing. The fact that you guys are even able to be friends, because that I'm telling you, I'm not mature enough. Listen, I am mature enough for that. Well, actually, that's not true, because I am friends kind of sort of with one of my exes. But I kind of am. I say kind of because he's married, and I, even though we used to be like him and his cousin, which is my best friend, you know, so she and I have been best friends for like, I don't know, maybe 25 years or something like that. And so I met him through her. Right. So it's all kind of connected. So I say we're kind of friends, but he's married now. He's been married for maybe, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. And anytime someone is married, like, you know, I immediately, even though there is no intention ever, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like out of respect. I back off. Like, yes. you know, because I, yeah, I don't want no confusion, no messiness. So that's why I say we're kind of friends, because I just try to keep that boundary. And again, not that there would ever be anything to overstep, but you know what I'm trying to say. So,
no, I know exactly so the fact what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are still friends. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know, because that's the level of respect that I would definitely, if I were ever to marry, if I were ever to marry.
Yes, girl, that is the level of respect. I see marriage in your future.
Girl, Chalet, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be married. And this might be another episode that I record, but I just don't know. I don't know if marriage is for me. I don't know. I'm just very comfortable.
That's okay, too. That's okay, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think I would want to have it does. I was gonna say, if I were to get married, I would need to have a husband that, like, I would have my own house and he would have his own house.
And then you come together when y'all want to, huh? Yes.
And yeah, we would get together a few times a week. You know, we'd have sex whenever we wanted to.
Right.
We would go and hang out. And or maybe if we had a huge home and I had a wing and he had a wing.
That's what you gotta
and we
think.
Would just
wing.
Hang out. You know, yes, wing. And but I can have some place to retreat to. And maybe it's not so much that I have a separate house, but, and look at me really going into this and thinking about this, but maybe as long as I had like a place that I could go and retreat, because I'm an introvert. I
need my time. Yes.
I need a she shed. A she shed looks like an apartment / house that I can just go to and have my space.
And you
every
need a
day.
Man who will accept that. And there are men out there who will like that, because they like their space. So don't rule it out, girl. Don't rule it out. Just make sure I get a wedding invitation, okay? Yes.
Okay. And see, speaking of which, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. I know that you have some non-negotiables and some standards. Okay. Yes. For anyone that are you currently dating? I don't know if I can ask that or not, but are you currently dating?
No, that's fine. I'm currently dating. Yes. Okay. I am currently dating. But I'll tell you something funny happened to me. When I turned 40, which I just turned 40, everything changed for me.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I turned 40 September 29th. You know, it's my birthday. Everything kind of changed for me, because I basically was like, I'm not putting up with this anymore, you know? So, I mean, even the little things that I was like, I don't think I'll do that. And I just kind of really, really even up my standard further, because, you know, I didn't want to just settle for whatever people were willing to give. And being in this dating world, you know what's out there. You know, sometimes it doesn't look so pretty. I have not, and that's what my friend said, what are your non-negotiables? My non-negotiables are, first of all, you have to have a job. You cannot live with your mom and dad, you know? You have to be financially stable. You have to be a man who is spiritual, and particularly a Christian, because I am a Christian. Mm-hmm. And so it'll just be an easier life for us to be Christians together.
Equally yoked.
And have a calling. And equally yoked. And you walk in together with God. I would love a man that prays, because that's important. You know, if you have somebody that can pray you through something, I believe you can get through almost anything, you know? I want somebody with some intellectual, you know, I can have a conversation with, not just somebody who can speak about football on Sunday, you know, but someone we can talk about what's going on in politics and, you know, the world. And so these things are important to me. And so I don't make it a long list because otherwise I'll be dating Jesus, you know, and you know, but I make it the top five things that I need to have in a relationship. And I'm a giving person. I'm giving and I'm loving, and I can't be with someone who's a taker. You know, and so because I know that's a very big thing to me, I'm a giver. I want to find someone who's also loving like I am and not selfish. So that's important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have your top five. I love that you have a list, Chalet, because I think that some of us that are currently hurting or have been hurt tremendously in the past, but yes, we're dealing with our own internal, you know, issues, and we're struggling, you know, inside. Yeah. We don't make a list. It is okay to make a list of things that you want in a relationship and out of a partner. There is nothing wrong with that. There is no shame in that. Yeah.
It's the power of manifestation, you know, because now that I have my list, they don't fit one of those in the top five. I know they're disqualified, and it's okay, you know, but it I am manifesting what I want. And I believe that that's what's going to, I'm going to get that. So, and that's it. And I put it out in the universe, and it's got to come back to me.
I love that. And see, the thing is, you wouldn't even have a list of non-negotiables or, you know, standards, if you will, if you didn't have a certain level of self-love and self-esteem and confidence built up within yourself, your self-worth. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, totally. That is so tied to that. I mean, so tied to that. And even me, my journey as a single mother, you know, I'm so careful about what I want my kids to see and, you know, experience, because for so long it was just me and my kids. I was blessed that my dad moved to help me about 2 years ago. So he's really, really been really effective in helping me raise my children. Now that my ex-husband and I divorced, my ex-husband lives in another state also. But I will say that, you know, in being a single mother, we have to be very careful of, you know, what we allow our children to see and, you know, how we parent our children, because they, you know, we are their influence. We're the main sole influence because of our single parent status, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, speaking of single parenting, so tell me more about what life is like now as a single parent. And also, when did you learn like the importance of building a village around you and your kids that you could lean on? Like, tell us more about how you built that village and when did you realize it was important?
Yes. Let me tell you, girl, I always thought I was a superwoman. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I can do anything. I can do it all. I can jump off the buildings. You know, I can do it. Oh, and then, you know, I mean, I was just, but you know, as a single mother, things happen. And I was like, I will always be like, God, please don't let my car break down. Please don't let something happen. So I never forget one day I was getting my wisdom tooth pulled, right? I was getting all four of them pulled, and I'm thinking, okay, I could deal with this. And, you know, I had a pretty decent schedule where, you know, my kids get off the bus, but my younger one was in daycare at this time. And I'm telling you, the procedure went over the time it was supposed to go, and I didn't have anybody to call, and I was in so much pain. I started to go into, like, I was actually literally crying. I was in that much pain because the medicine started to wear off. So I had to find a way to try to get my medicine and pick up my child on time. So what did I have to do? I had to call a neighbor. And I called a neighbor that I knew, and I said, I need you to do me a favor. And I was crying on the phone, and I was like, I'm not going to get my daughter in time, but I need this medicine. I'm going to go into, you know, I felt like I was just like a tooth pain. Nothing is like it, right? And she was like, don't worry, I got you. She came, picked me up, got the medicine, and I was late getting my daughter, but I was getting, and then I said to myself after that moment, like, you can't do this by yourself. You cannot do this by yourself, no matter how hard you try. And so I made a conscious effort to set up, friendly neighbors that I got to know, like, listen, you know, get to know my neighbors a little bit more, get to know people on my son's team whose mothers could pick up and drop them off when I couldn't do it. Because I have three children and all of them are involved in some type of activities. And it's just no way. Sometimes I have a conflict, you know, like if I didn't have my dad, it would be really hard. But even without my dad, when I didn't have my dad, I would have to set up things. I would have set up things with parents. I would set up things with other parents so my kids could participate in these activities. You know, I would try to schedule certain events. Okay, you know what? You get up at 4:30, you get up at 4:30. This is the priority. I'll pick up my daughter and then I'll come and pick you up after. And you wait here for me, you know? So we would be on tight schedules. But I found the importance of a community and really, really setting up a village for yourself and not being a loner in your shell who think you can handle it all, because there will be those moments that you realize you need someone, you know? And as a loner and as an only child and as a person who thought that she was superwoman, that was the moment that I realized you need to build a village around you. And that's what I did.
Girl, now listen, Yes, that village is important. But I'll tell you what, sis, because I don't think that I really have a village. I come from a small family, and that's another long story.
But
I come
too. From a small family.
So so I have my mom. Thankfully, she lives 5 minutes away from me. But when I first had my daughter, she's very close. But when I first had my daughter, like, I didn't really have anybody besides maybe my best friend that could watch my daughter. So, and me being introverted by nature, and also me being not very trusting of people that they do things as good as I do them, number one. Okay. Cause I'm perfect. In case I didn't mention it.
Yes, girl. I know.
Well, also, because we're perfect. We really, no one can do things the way that we do things. Okay.
That's right.
Also, being able to trust people, you know, and I don't have that's not a strong capability that I have. I'm just going to be honest. So I give you major props. Now, see, I only have one, you have three. So I think the necessity, you know what I'm saying, is much different when you have three kids compared to one kid as a single parent. You know what I'm saying?
That, let me just say too, is that, I mean, I'm not rich, you know? I mean, so I think about me with my resources, at least being a middle class woman who's been blessed in some way to at least have some resources. You know, we got to think about single mothers who don't have the money, you know, to pay babysitters or, you know, don't have cars. So what do they have to do? You know, and so I'm always conscious of that, you know, that not everybody has the resources to provide the way as a single mother as other single mothers do, you know,
that is a privilege that we have.
Yes, really. It's a privilege. But, you know, and I was also not trusting also of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying to be trusting of people either. But at least if you have a community around you and you get to know your neighbors and people in your village, you can at least have people, hey, this is, you know, depending on your neighborhood. And I don't always feel comfortable with my neighbors. So let me just keep that, you know, I'm not very close, but I know there's a neighbor across the street that I had neighbor next door. That if anything happened, they would at least take my daughter off the bus or something like that, that I had in place. So I feel grateful for that, you know, and it's the little people that's in place in my life that have been able to help me along the way. And like I said, my dad moved here. So that's a great, you know, my dad is the greatest and he's really helped me a lot. And my mom is retired. So she comes up whenever she, you know, gets a break also. So I have and I'm from a small family too. I'm an only child. My mother's the only child. So we're very tight knit and tight, close, you know, very close family. Yeah, that village is so important because at one point I lived in Texas. Mm-hmm. I was still with my husband, but I lived in Texas for 4 or 5 years and there was nobody but me and my husband. And so that alone was challenging because we had no family around us. But when I moved to Northern Virginia, I definitely was alone when we got separated and then divorced. And so I had to build like a community because it was just hard, you know? Let me just be honest. I mean, it's easier now that they're teenagers, you know, they know how to do things on their own. But when they were small, oh girl, there were times that I just would sit in a car for 15 minutes and cry, you know? That's real.
Never would have made it.
Yes, girl. Never would have made it, God. Yes, oh my God, just let me get to the day.
Girl, like, listen, you know? I still sit in my car. My daughter is 17. Okay, I still sit in my car. And be like, listen, can I just anytime you have a snack or you want some peace, just go to your car. That is my tip for the day. Just go to your car.
Oh my goodness!
Because the kids will not let you have any peace.
Yes.
They will not let you eat anything that you wanted to have for yourself. You can forget about it. So forget if you want anything to yourself, do it while they're in school. Okay. Or just go to the car. Just go to the car.
Yes. Totally. No. Yeah. Or my bathroom became another place. But even then, my little ones who come to the bathroom when I'm in there, sometimes I can't even hide there, you know? Jeez,
in the bathroom, just hiding out.
Yes, just hiding out in the bathroom, you know, just like, you know, I mean, if we had a penny for every time somebody said mom, I'd be rich, you know, but building a village is so vital, you know, having communities, you know, being part of a community that will allow you to thrive as a single mother. And I'm telling you, I mean, I'm very appreciative of my oldest daughter because she helped me out a lot. Even when I was going to classes, she would watch the little one for me. And I felt so bad for having her do it, you know, at times, because, you know, I wanted her to be a teenager, you know, but it was just like, okay, I got to do this so I can make more money, so I can provide for my kids. I know I'm in this by myself, you know. So these are like sacrifices that sometimes we make, and the choices that we make that sometimes affects our children, you know. So, yeah, I mean, now my kids are older, things are a little bit easier, but it's like, whoa, I remember, like, whoa. You know? Yeah,
I feel it. I feel it tremendously. So with your day to day, I know you have your village in place, but with your day to day and all that you do as a single mom and running around with your three kids, two of them that think you are Bank of America and their chauffeur and all that stuff. So like, what does your self-care routine look like? Like, do you have a routine? Do you have time in your day where you practice self-care? Like, or like, can you tell me what you do for self-care and how you do it?
Oh yeah, sure. You know, I love to travel, you know, so I try to take at least one trip a year. Last year was a big traveling year to me. I went to like 7 different countries. It was just amazing.
Oh wow.
Yes, I had a great time, but this year has been slower because I've been focused on, you know, like my books. I came out, I'm an author of 3 books. So I'm also, you know, entrepreneur in the side of the way. I'm an author. And so I do a lot of things with my books, and sometimes I travel, speaking engagements and things like that. So that becomes a busy lifestyle too, with trying to balance everything. But let me tell you, in the morning, I used to turn on the news and watch it. I stopped doing that because I realized that my whole day would be frazzled by what was going on in the news. So now I get up, I meditate, I say my affirmations, I pray, I read my word. That's just something that helps me during the day before I do anything, before I speak to my children, you know? And so I get up earlier if they get up earlier. And then a lot of times I'll listen to, you know, a word from, you know, maybe I love T.D. Jakes. So, you know, I might play a T.D. Jakes clip or Matthew Stevenson, you know, it just depends on who, or just listen to something positive in the morning. Cause I think your morning, the way you start your morning can really help your whole day. Even if things go bad in the daytime, if you start your morning right, it can really anchor you to have a positive day.
Agreed.
Yes. So I've really put a lot of emphasis on starting my morning right, you know, and I get up in the morning, and there's a book by Cindy Trim called Command Your Morning. And I really, really am a stickler for commanding my morning, you know, like, and speaking just positive things over my life. And so even when the negative come, I'm reaffirmed in my own affirmations that things will not stay negative, you know? And so that's part of my self-care routine. But like I said, I continue to date myself, even though I date. I continue to date myself. I take myself out to great restaurants, to the movies. And even when I didn't have the money, let's say, you know, at times when things were really tight, I would just go to the park and take a book and read, you know?
I love that.
I would set that time aside, you know, and say, hey, I'll be gone for an hour or two. And we'll go to, or the library. I love reading, you know, quiet places that I can think, or, you know, I've become a nature lover in the last couple of years. So I'll just go and just kind of stare at nature. And a couple times I've taken a ride up to the, you know, skyline where you can see the whole, like, you know, DC, Washington, DMV area. Yeah. And I'll just sit up there and just, you know, really just look, you know, and just, you know, say, you know, do you just remind you how good, you know, life can be even in bad times. And that, you know, this creation that we live in is amazing, you know? So that's my self-care routines.
Oh, I love that. You don't have to be rich. No, you don't. You absolutely do not, Shalay. Like, I too go to the park. I try to go every morning, and I journal. I read the Bible. I pray. Yes. I do all that from the park inside my car. Because some days I walk, and then like today I just did like a 30-minute walk, and then I came back to my car and I journaled. And then in those cases, I'll like something on the Bible or something motivational or just something God centered on the way home or like that. But you're right. It's like the way you start your morning. It is for me, I'm with you because it is crucial to have a, not necessarily how it's going to go. Like you can't control everything, but it helps you to just stay focused, like with what your intention was for the day. So I love that. And the fact that you have a place where you can go and see the skyline, like now I'm going to get on Yelp.
Yes,
serious.
Come visit me. I'll take you there.
I want to. Don't tell me what a good time.
Girl. Yes, come on. I already told you. Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm so serious. Come visit me, girl. Yes, we will talk. And you and I will take you there. Yes.
Oh, I want to go. So maybe next year, you know what I'm saying? Because I was telling you that I want to go to like the East Coast.
Yes.
So
anytime. Yes. And I'll take you to New York, too. We'll go and see all the sites.
Girl, don't get me with a good time. Okay?
I'll be your tour guide, you know?
Oh, I love that. Amazing, amazing. Okay, so I'm going to have to stick a pin in that. Now, when I call you, don't be like, nah, girl, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Girl, never, never, okay? Never.
Amazing. That is so dope. So yeah, I will definitely do that. But I just love your self-care routine. I love how you were able to get yourself to a place of healing, not only for your kids, which is crucial, but also for yourself. Because I've learned that when I'm not good, when you're not good, nobody that you have to take care of is good. Nobody's good. Everybody struggles based off of your struggle, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. It's true. And we can try to put up little fronts like everything's okay or that, you know, everything's fine. We're functioning well. But especially kids, they know.
They can feel it. Yes.
They can when something's not right. So I love that you are just taking care of yourself. You're out here with your multiple MAs and teaching and writing. And I mean, I'm serious. Everything, you are like on your glow up tour. And I hope that it just never stops. Like never stops because that's what I love.
Yes, I'm appreciative. You know, I think you know I feel like love. God has blessed me with love and kindness and for others and empathy and you know and so I take my pain as a gift. You know, of to show others that they can come through these worst times and make it and be on the other side of the life, be on the other side of life, be on the other side of the wall, whatever they feel like is blocking them. And so, you know, I'm grateful for even those experiences. Even in that, I say thank you, you know, so
I love that. Gratitude is so important.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, Shale, we are coming to the end of this episode, which was absolutely fast. I know it really did. But I wanted to say, first of all, tell us quickly the name of your three books, and also I will be sure to put the books in the notes of the podcast too. But are the name of your three books besides?
Okay, so I have Black Dresses Stain, and just really quickly, that's just about how if a woman wears a black dress and it stains, you can't tell that the dress is stained because it's black. And so it kind of is indicative of women that go through scars, but you can't tell. So it has all different stories of women in it. It's short stories and poetry. And then I also have Relive, which I talked about, and Black from Scratch, which is a 320-page colorful book with photography, all stories of black people and what they've able to overcome. So they've had like short stories. Everybody has a short story in there of just different things that they've been able to overcome or triumph over in their lives.
Those are so you said Relive, Black, Relive. Did you say Black from Scratch?
Black from Scratch, yes. And that's over 85 people in that book, over 85 Black people in that book. Oh, wow. Yes. And Black Dresses Stain.
Black Dresses Stain. Okay, so I will make sure that I put that in.
They're all available on Amazon. So
you can get them. Oh, okay, then I will make sure that I put those links to the books. Absolutely.
Yes.
So if people want to connect with you, hopefully that's okay. Where can they find you online?
Sure. I'm on Facebook. I have Shale's Wits, spelled C-H-A-L-E-T-S, Wits, W-I-T-S, one word. I have a website, mm-hmm. chaletswits.com. So you can go on my website. You can find everything about me, all my information, my books, everything. Yes.
Mm. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I just appreciate your honesty today and your transparency.
Oh,
and sharing. Yeah, your story is so important, and I'm just so thankful that you allowed us to share it with yes. our audience, be able to bless you, people. But yeah, I loved it. Yes. I'm so appreciative.
I'm back, guys. So what did you think about that episode? Was it amazing or was it just me? I don't think it was just me. Chalet, she really was transparent and she was honest about her relationship and just how she was able to go from, you know, in one place down here and just really elevate her life and her mindset. And that was like such a huge takeaway for me. And I hope that that is what you were able to get from the episode as well. So I want to thank you so much for listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. As always, if you'd like to reach me, you can email me at connect@browngirlselfcare.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.